I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Leo Spann. Leo is owner and operator of Po' Boy Place, a new restaurant located in Union Hall in downtown Waco. We talk about his family's flight from Hurricane Katrina, lessons he learned about restaurant operations from his time at Raising Cane's, and the components of a perfect po' boy. Leo, welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
What is your Waco history?
So, funny story, it actually starts in like 1984. I'm actually born in Waco, Texas at Hillcrest Hospital many, many years ago. But my mom moved away and we moved to New Orleans and we grew up there. And so full circle, we got Hurricane Katrina, and then we ended up back in Waco. So that's kind of like the beginning, the middle, and the end, if you will.
And you came back to Waco in what year?
So originally, we came back in 2005. After Hurricane Katrina, we evacuated from New Orleans. My mom had a sister living here, so it made the most sense for us as far as having some help. And then the Waco community just really took over and gave us everything we needed during that time. So it was pretty awesome.
So when Hurricane Katrina hits New Orleans, you are 20, 21?
21, 22.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts today of what you experienced during the flooding?
Pretty crazy. You know, you never really think that your life's going to change drastically. You know, I never really envisioned myself living outside of New Orleans. Never thought that I wouldn't see my high school buddies anymore. You know, it's just, it kind of forced me to become an adult really quick, you know, because a lot changed in our lives.
Take me into 2005. You're living in New Orleans. I guess you start to hear things on the news that there's floods coming. Obviously don't know the levees are going to break. You assume they're going to hold. Take me through your mindset for those couple of days while you were there. And did you exit during the storm and make your way to Texas?
So it's kind of crazy because, you know, growing up there, it's hurricane season, you know. So, you know, I remember being a child and putting sandbags around the house, putting all the furniture on bricks and tying the boat to the front yard on the fence because it was just a thing that you did. And we prepared every year during hurricane season. And, you know, we went through Hurricane Andrew and just so many other ones that were really tough. And I don't know what it was, but my mom decided, like, this was the year we need to obey and follow the evacuation plan. And so we did. We packed up and we got out before it hit, the day before, and turned out to be an amazing blessing that we listened and got out of there. So, but it was crazy. It was quite an adventure because, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what we were going to come back to. You know, I had lots of friends that lived in on the east side that came back to nothing, you know, houses being fully submerged underwater. So we grew up on the West Bank, so we didn't get as much flooding, but we did definitely get wind damage. The back of my mom's house blew completely off. We had to rebuild. Absolutely.
Now, 15 years later, the city itself has got its footing in some parts, but obviously there are other parts of the city that are basically just as damaged as they were after Katrina in 2005. What is your neighborhood looking like these days? Is it recognizable to you when you go back?
Not at all. not at all. And, you know, we grew up in a tougher community. And, you know, we grew up in an older community that had established themselves. And right next to that community was a large housing project. And, you know, as much as like 11 stories, and it was like probably 10 to 12 buildings on both sides of the street. So it was like a huge community. But going back, that was gone, completely gone. They had gotten rid of it and built like affordable housing. So it was just kind of weird, right? Like, it's good that it was gone because they created other opportunities for people, but it was kind of weird because that's all you saw as a kid growing up. A lot of my friends grew up in that housing project, you know? So it was different for sure.
For listeners of Downtown Depot who want to understand you more and understand your culture and the history of Po' Boy Place, I think they really need to understand New Orleans. And if you've never traveled to New Orleans, it might not be on the top of the places that you want to go visit, but I see New Orleans as one of the most interesting spots I've ever visited. It is so thoroughly American and European and Cajun. Yep. Paint the picture of New Orleans for listeners who haven't been there.
For me, growing up there, it's, you know, I like to tell a lot of people it's dirty, you know, but like in a full of culture kind of way. The atmosphere, the music, I mean, just everything about it is just amazing. The food, being able to eat from all these different, you know, places around the world submerged into like this melting pot of New Orleans is just so amazing. But I always tell them it's a dirty, gringy culture. And, you know, it really doesn't matter what race you are. Everybody's the same. Everybody speaks the same language. It's just so cool.
That New Orleans culture is something you have been able to imbue Po' Boy Place with. It feels like you're walking down Bourbon Street and want to pop your head into a shop and get a sandwich. When did your love of food begin?
You know, it probably began way before I actually knew. I just remember, now that I know what I know, I just remember looking back as a child and just standing in the kitchen, smelling the smells that, you know, my mom would have food cooking on the stove. And, you know, we reached a certain age and she was like, okay, now it's time to start cooking for yourself. So I think that's when, you know, my sisters and I really started to, you know, care about what we ate, how things tasted, you know, and this is like 11 or 12 for me. And so naturally my first job going into the workforce was working at a restaurant, being a dishwasher at Applebee's. And, you know, but I think just doing it, noticing that I had a little bit of talent, I had the hustle and the hard work mindset. And so it became very easy for me. But, you know, I went to college for art, and then just moving around all the time. And just later in life, I actually went to culinary school. And that's when it really hit. I got this cool opportunity to go to culinary school in Seattle. And so just being exposed to a totally different type of cuisine and lifestyle, that's when it really hit for me.
Were you trying to bring some of those Cajun flavors up to Pacific Northwest? Or were you learning an entirely new style of cooking there that you've been able to bring down south?
I think it refined my cooking. It is super different up there. In my opinion, it was, you know, a lot of things fresh. I mean, you're obviously, it's the difference between pulling something out of the ocean versus the Gulf, right? So it's totally different types of seafood. There's a lot of farm to table and foraging that happens up north. And it was totally cool. So I think going to school up there really taught me more about how I can make my cuisine, my childhood, that much more special.
So you grew up in New Orleans, you're displaced due to Katrina, you bump around a few places, namely Applebee's and Seattle for culinary school, which seem like they're on different sides of the map, but maybe they're on the same one. And eventually you get an idea for taking the food of your youth, the Po' Boy, which is one of the most famous New Orleans style types of food, and you want to make a concept around that. How did the idea for Po' Boy Place come about, and what gave you the inspiration to take this thing that had been a hobby and turn it into a profession?
So, you know, kind of long story short, I went to LSU, and my job in Baton Rouge was Raising Cane's. And working at Raising Cane's was like the best thing that could ever happen to me culture-wise. I mean, everything they do with team and culture is amazing. And so my main takeaway from working there was simplicity. Working there for many years and just knowing that, hey, you can take one thing and make it special, that really stuck with me for a long time. And then fast forward, get out of culinary school, move back to Texas, and then I meet a guy who, you know, I'm in the middle of looking for a job because now I'm like, well, I'm a certified culinarian. I must be looking for something like working in a hotel, or some high-end restaurant. Well, that didn't happen right away. And so I went back to Cane's because that's what I knew and loved. And I got an opportunity to work with a guy who no longer works with them, but is my mentor to this day, Kyle Gordon, an amazing leader. And he just really helped me change my mindset. I got a cool opportunity to go talk to him and work with him with his company. And so he started a company called Dillas Quesadillas with the same mindset, simplicity, you know, focus on just the quesadilla. And so they're in the Dallas market. And so I got an opportunity to help write the menu, create some operating procedures, really learn what it takes to be a leader and start a business. So my journey with him was 5 years, and I decided after my fifth year that I had gained enough knowledge and experience to do my own thing. And so just taking my experience from Raising Cane's and then everything that he taught me at Dillas Quesadillas and just saying, I could do this, but I want to keep it simple. I don't want to bring the whole culture of New Orleans, you know? And so we were thinking, what's one thing that nobody has really highlighted in a way that it deserves? And so it was the po' boy, you know? It's such an amazing vehicle to so many great food items. And so, you know, just having that simplicity mindset, we knew we could really highlight the po' boy, but also while highlighting it, teaching like a whole different community about the amazingness of the po' boy, right? And so that was our goal. Let's not be like any other Cajun Creole restaurant where you take all the amazing dishes from our city, but let's just focus on the one thing and make it the best. And so that's how we came to the po' boy, because, you know, the sandwich market is, it's a cool market, and we just thought it'd be a good opportunity to do something different with the sandwich market.
I'd love to know your thoughts on restaurants in general and where they're headed, because it seemed like in the 90s and 2000s and maybe even the early parts of the teens, we were so focused on having as many options as possible. You wanted to go to an Applebee's, you wanted to go to a Luby's, but now it's like people want to go to the po' boy place, mm-hmm. or I want to get teriyaki chicken rice, mm-hmm. and so I'm going to go to Yaki. Mm-hmm. Do you see consumers shying away from having lots of different things and going towards one specific option when they think about what to eat?
I do a little bit. Like, as far as where the industry's trending, you know, food halls are popping up all over the nation because people want to get what they want to get, but they also, like, they're more intrigued with trying different cuisines, you know? So for Po' Boy Place specifically, we offer a Primo sandwich. And a lot of people are attracted to just a Primo sandwich. But being in the food hall, you know, if you show up with a family of four, you do target that one person, but also their family can eat somewhere else that's specific to what they want, right? And so I think it's part, you know, simplicity is remaining supreme, but also like people want options in the sense of like, okay, I want to be able to just tackle teriyaki, for example, or just Cajun food, for example, but how the industry's trending to the food hall scene, we've kind of created this opportunity for a full family to get that one thing that they want in one setting.
You opened Po' Boy Place in the Union Hall Food Hall in May of 2020, right in the middle of a pandemic. Probably not exactly how you drew it out, but it has worked. I mean, people are going to go get food still, and they want something that's unique. You haven't been through the entire cycle of COVID with your restaurant, but I wonder what you're sensing in the restaurant industry in general as it relates to COVID. How have you seen restaurants stepping up or changing things? And what have you had to do with Po' Boy that was different than how you had drawn it out on a napkin or in your business plan in 2018 and 2019?
I think the biggest change for us, you know, initially going into Union Hall, you would think, okay, it's going to be quick food, simplicity. You want to have these amazing sandwiches plated on trays. And so for us, COVID made us realize that everything had to be wrapped and packaged, right, as if it was a to-go order. And so we immediately had to switch. Okay, we're not going to put any food on trays. We're going to cook to order. We're going to wrap it up as if it was to-go to make sure that everything was safe and secure and individual for each person that ordered. And so as far as COVID impacting the restaurant industry, you know, meal kits have become a really big thing as far as like creating opportunities for consumers or customers to come in, pick something up and take it home and prepare it. And so we've been really trying to come up with some meal kits of our own so that, you know what, if you don't feel safe or comfortable coming into our establishment, well, we can create the meal kit and you can go home and you can have that same great tasting po' boy at your home with your family.
You are hearing from Leo Spann. Leo is the owner and operator of Po' Boy Place, a terrific new restaurant that's located in the food hall downtown on Franklin Avenue. February is Black History Month. You are a Black business owner in this community in Waco that I feel like every month I learn about more and more Black business owners and I hear about people intentionally supporting Black business. Unfortunately, some of that awareness is due to the George Floyd passing and the rise of Black Lives Matter. But in general, it's something that everyone in Waco should be aware of, and we want to make sure we're supporting minority businesses as well. But I've heard from some Black business owners that feel a little bit patronized too. Like I saw on my favorite app that you could get $5 off your delivery if you ordered from one of these Black businesses. How do you balance that of not wanting people to come to your business just because you're Black, right? You want them to come because the food's good, but also you have historically not had the shine that other businesses have had. And so, I don't know, what are your thoughts on that balance?
That's an interesting question because, you know, my wife and I, we talk about this all the time. So I am married to a Caucasian woman. And so we talk about it all the time. And, you know, I consider her part owner as well. And, you know, we're building this thing together. And so it does make you feel good to a certain extent that, like, okay, we have this unique opportunity to be highlighted across the community. But it's exactly what you said. Like, I don't want you to come to Po' Boy Place because it's minority owned or Black owned. I want you to come because we have the best Po' Boys in Central Texas, you know. So sometimes it does get kind of stale and old because I don't want to be known as a Black-owned business, per se, because although I am the owner-operator, no one's above Po' Boy Place, you know? So we're focused on Po' Boy Place and what it takes to have a unique experience, primo sandwiches, and an immaculately clean restaurant. And so who cares who owns it, right? Because I'm here today. If I'm not here tomorrow, that becomes an irrelevant point, right? So for us, it's about our great customer service and our primo sandwiches.
I'm always curious to talk to folks who work with the spouse in their business. I see you giggling over there.
Yeah.
I did something similar early in my life with Pokio's, and I wonder how your wife and you, Janae, is that her name?
Yes.
I wonder how Janae and you have divided the labor. What things do you handle? What things does she handle? And what's something that you've learned about her since May of this year?
I'm going to start with what I learned about her. She is always right. I am telling you, every time I want to make a decision in the business, I've learned that it's very important to hear her out first because she just, I don't know if it's a talent. I don't know if it's a woman thing or what, but like she just always knows. Every time we have to make a hard choice, she's right every time. So I've definitely learned, you know, as a husband, but most importantly, as a business partner, to always bring everything to the table and we decide together because, you know, we're in it together. And so working with her has been challenging in a sense. You know, we're both learning how to separate business from home. So being able to like disconnect from the business and go home and just live our lives, that's been the biggest challenge because we're constantly thinking about the next big move for Po' Boy Place, you know? So it's been a journey, but, you know, we're doing a better job. Naturally, I'm passionate about cooking, so I take on most of the operational role and decisions. And then, you know, she's got small kids at home, and so it makes it easier for her to handle a lot of the back end, back office things, the administration and payroll things. And so I think we both fit comfortably in those roles.
Waco has become known as a place that is very welcoming of new businesses. Maybe not the big chains, but if there's a local business that opens up, there's a groundswell of people on Instagram, Facebook that want to go and support that new business. I know that opening in the middle of a pandemic was not how you planned it, but how would you assess the Waco community and how this community has supported you?
You know, my wife and I, we discuss this all the time because, you know, opening in the middle of a pandemic, I mean, we didn't see that coming, obviously. You know, we signed our lease in November of 2019, so we had no idea what 2020 was going to look like. So I think our conversation all the time is like a conversation full of gratitude because we feel like if we would have started in the Dallas market, we would have got crushed. And so I think that's a testament to the Waco community and their support for small business, local, and all those things. And so, man, we're just so grateful that we started here because Waco's carried us through the pandemic. And that's been an absolute blessing for us. And I think that speaks volumes to the community support.
What's the growth plan for Po' Boy?
You know,
and did Janae and you have different answers to this question?
You know, when I first started this, you know, our mission and vision is to be the brand for Primo sandwiches. And my initial goal was 25 and 10 years. We really want to be the fast casual concept for a great po' boy. You know that.
And who are other competitors in this space?
So in the sandwich market, you know, we compare ourselves to Jersey Mike's, Jimmy John's, companies like that. You know, in our opinion, Jersey Mike's is at the top.
But you're doing seafood. They're almost exclusively cold cuts, and they'll do Philly cheesesteak. But
Most sandwich places, Firehouse Subs, whatever, they offer some hot options, but it's toasted. And so I think that's our unique competitive advantage is, you know, 98% of our menu is hot sandwiches. We cook to order. No sandwich place on the market offers seafood. And so that's very unique to what we do. And our seafood's from the Gulf of Mexico. So it's super local. So I think that's our competitive edge. You know, we can fry, grill, anything.
And do you see yourself expanding more in Texas? Like, are you looking for other cities similar to Waco in size and scale, or I want to be in downtown Austin? How do you think about that?
You know, we want to go where the foodies are. And honestly, it really depends on the opportunity. You know, we just keep our ears to the ground and we're just waiting to see what happens. We definitely want to build a strong base in Waco. And then we like the idea of going towards Austin, or Dallas. It really just depends on the opportunity.
What are you looking for in a market?
I think curious eaters, people that are willing to try unique and different things. You know, we do a lot of crazy things on our menu. We smoke brisket in-house. We have shrimp. We have crawfish. We have catfish. We make roast beef in-house. We put that in the oven for 4 hours. So I think you really have to be like a bold, curious eater to come enjoy our sandwiches. And as you know, the hot chicken is just super unique. So
that's been my favorite sandwich of 2021.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. So I think you just have to be an adventurous eater. That's what we're looking for.
So what is the history of the Po' Boy?
So the story is there's these two retired streetcar workers that own a restaurant, and there was like a big streetcar strike, and the union went on strike, and these guys wanted to kind of support them during that process because, you know, they were on strike, they weren't making money, and so they were like, okay, we got to feed them with something, and so they were basically taking the leftover bits and pieces of some sandwiches and throwing it on bread, and, you know, I guess over time, they were saying this is for the po' boys, and over time, them calling them po' boys and them receiving that sandwich kind of merged together, And that was kind of like the birth of the po' boy. I think that's how it happened. And so it's kind of cool because, like, for us and selling po' boys, it's like, you know, it's a sandwich for everybody, whether you have money or not. And so that's kind of like our mindset when we're creating. And so I think what makes a great po' boy, for me personally, you have to start with the New Orleans French bread. We use Lettenheimer, which is, you know, German bakers that's been around for quite a while. And so they're the pros at it. And so we make it a point to start with that. And then from there, it's just fresh local ingredients. But traditionally, a po' boy is a French bread sandwich with seafood or meat, shrimp, oysters. Roast beef is a big one in New Orleans. It's also—
Is the seafood usually fried? But it doesn't have to be?
It is typically fried. At Po' Boy Place, we offer it fried or grilled, your choice. But it always starts fried, unless you say otherwise.
If I wanted to be an inconsiderate jerk who wanted to go to the super spreader event known as Mardi Gras in New Orleans, of course it's fun. You should go anytime, but during a pandemic. But whether it's during Mardi Gras or any other time upcoming, what are some places in New Orleans, maybe even in your specific neighborhood, that you still think of fondly that any foodie should hit when they're traveling?
I mean, in reference to what we do at Po' Boy Place, I think Parkway Po' Boys, they're at the top of the food chain. They do it the very best. They've been doing it for a long time.
What makes them the best?
I think just consistency over time. And, you know, they also start with the Lettenheimer French bread. So, you know, they're using the blue plate mayo, which is super important to us. And then they make a really mean roast beef sandwich, which is my all-time favorite.
One thing I love about New Orleans is that you can do the street food or you can do the real Southern cook and go to Mother's, which is a very famous spot. But you can also get a little bit upscale. Go to Commander's Palace, get turtle soup. I mean, some of the best culinary minds in the entire country either currently are in New Orleans or at least have spent time there.
Absolutely. Commander's Palace for us growing up was prom. You know, during junior prom, senior prom, winter formals, we went to Commander's Palace. That was like the cool, fancy place to hang out as a teenager.
Well, now that you're of legal drinking age, you can go and take advantage of those dollar martinis that they serve during lunch. Leo Spann is the owner and operator of Po' Boy Place. You can find them downtown at the Union Hall Food Hall on Franklin Avenue. Leo, thank you so much for sharing some of your story.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks again to Leo Spann of Po' Boy Place and you for tuning in to another episode of Downtown Depot here on Waco Public Radio. I'm your host, Austin Meek. You can find me in between episodes on social media at Waco Business News and again on Waco Public Radio on Friday, February 19th for episode 99 of Downtown Depot. You've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.